Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Don Tony. All right. Good evening, everybody. May 14th, 2022. I hope everybody is having a nice weekend. The Don Tony Show is here. I am your host, Don Tony, as always. And thank you very much for joining me. Awesome that you could all hang out, whether it's live or on the replay. Always appreciated. And never taken advantage of. I thank each and every one of you for your support. Now, forgive me for everyone who is live. I am definitely going to do everything I can tonight to end the show a little earlier. Yesterday, I got my fifth dose of the COVID vaccine. I tell you, I got to be honest with you. I don't really have any side effects other than a very sore arm and the fact that I slept for, I think we're at almost 19 hours since yesterday. I kid you not. I got the shot yesterday at 1 o'clock. I came home around 4 because we had the early watch party for Rampage and I took a nap for about an hour. Then after Rampage was over, we had the SmackDown watch party, and I literally passed out last night at 10:30 at night. I woke up today at almost 1 p.m., and I literally fell back asleep around 3 o'clock, and I slept until almost 6:30 tonight. So I am sleeping like an infant. But I tell you, half the dose, because that's what the booster shots are now. See, a lot of people don't know. When I had my first booster shot, it was August of last year. And at that time, they were given the full amount of medicine, like the first two shots. So when I got the third one, it felt like somebody knocked my ass out. Now they're only giving you half the medicine. And I tell you, I feel pretty good. I honestly think it's going to spark a lot of my friends and family that know, to get the booster also because didn't really do it other than sleeping. And I actually made myself an energy drink. That's why it's purple. It's not iced tea. But hopefully it'll wake me up a little bit tonight. All right. Enough of the chatter. Let's get right into the show. And later on tonight, if you haven't seen it yet, I don't think we'll get into any trouble for it. There is a, right before we went live, I found this. There is a TikTok video. Let me see if I can show you a better picture of it. Yeah. WWE released the TikTok video, and it's one of those split screens. Now, yes, I know what you're going to say. DT, why is the logo on the shirt reversed? I don't know why people do that, especially when WWE owns the footage. I don't know why they reverse the logos. They mirror the image on TikTok. Now, what I did for the photo is I reversed it. Yeah, that's pretty damn good photoshopping on my part instead of this. But what I will eventually do is I will probably mirror the whole image itself. Rojo Bear, thank you very much for that super chat. Very kind of you. And thank you for everyone else who sent it early. Oh, my God. We're going to tick off haters tonight. We're going to take off haters tonight because James Tutton sent in. I literally turned it on as soon as I saw your post right before we went live. Yes, for everybody that is not a fan of Don Tony that seem to get angry when people contribute, to the expenses of the shows, maybe a little bit of the marriage fund or whatever it is, I give back. We always had super chats. Now we got super thanks. Super thanks. Basically, what that is after you enjoy a show, even on an archive, if you enjoyed it and you want to send a little bit of a tip as a reason, please, under no circumstances do I ever want to anybody to feel obligated. And no, you don't get a hand job from me for doing so. But James, thank you very much for letting me know I don't know. I mean, if others have gotten it, but pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, we got a few things to get into. Obviously, SmackDown last night, they announced a very important match for next week's SmackDown. And I will talk about it because something I noticed, two things I noticed about the Usos and RK-Bro. And I'll tell you later on why I'm not as excited for this match next week than you think. And no, it's not because it's on SmackDown instead of a premium live event, but I'll explain in a little bit. Now, let's get this out of the way. Let's just get it out of the way. I promise you, if I have to set up a timer, I'll set up a timer. We're only going to spend 5 minutes on it. Okay? We talked about it last Saturday. I spent 45 minutes on it. I am so sorry for everyone out there that did not want to watch that for 45 minutes. I didn't realize it. But I wanted to be as thorough and as fair as I can with the whole situation with Tammy Sitch. If you remember last Friday, Saturday, we talked about it. And then this past Monday, I gave you the definition of the, you know, the detention that, you know, they were going to give her. Or what the judge was requesting, the revoke bond and keep her in detention until the trial, because not only is she a danger to society, she's a danger to herself. And I'm going to just tell you straight out, you know, because a few people already know this. I had a couple of her personal friends earlier this week that had heard from other people that she tried to take her life. Now, it ended up not being true. But believe me when I tell you, there was a lot of people out there. I'm not saying one thing. I'm just telling you what's been going on behind the scenes. Her being in prison is the best thing for everybody involved. But we said Monday, do not be surprised if Florida revokes bail. Now, for everyone out there that is going to say to me, DT, why did they give her bond in the first place? I say revoke bond. Why did they give a bond in the first place? Well, that's how the court system works. That's how our judicial system works, especially in Florida. That's why I've always shit on the judicial system in Florida. They take some extra steps, but, you know, everything is done for a reason. Give the DA credit. They presented what they presented. The judge felt the same, and they revoked the bond. She is now back in jail. Now, I got unedited footage for you. And I know everybody cut and pasted it this week, but you know, the most ridiculous thing about it is if you watch the 2 minutes in the court with the DA requesting to the judge why the bond should be revoked, the audio was pathetic. I mean, you have to have a hearing aid to hear the judge. I don't know why people out there just couldn't spend about 15 minutes and enhance the audio, level it out, boost it. I mean, we all know how to do this behind the scenes. So I enhanced the audio. I enhanced the video. It's only about 2.5 minutes, but I'm going to share with you what went down this past Friday when he revoked her bond. Take note at the very end when you see Tammy get up and is about to walk out of the courtroom. She requests something from her boyfriend. Look at the hand gesture, and she says one word. Check it out.
And her blood levels range everywhere between 0.28, 0.32, and higher. So even taking the lowest level, 0.28, she is more than 3 times beyond the legal limit of driving. Criminal history includes 3 prior DUIs, and I appreciate your comment, Mr. Delbridge, that would not be a crime here, but the important thing is that was a crime in the state. She committed it, and one of the things I'm looking at is whether somebody is going to abide by or conditions, and that includes following the law. In addition to that, she's got a prior driver's license suspended and apparently had no valid driver's license on the event between that this crash occurred. What's more significant to this court is that there's an arrest out of January, an arrest out of February related to alcohol. This happens in March, and then in May, there's a March in that, which in the slate state of Florida is a commitment based on drug or alcohol abuse. I don't know what that means. Please make sure you turn it off. All right. question to this court is beyond the dangerous crime and substantial probability, whether she's a threat to the community and whether there are any reasonable means to protect the community short of incarceration. Given the history, and unfortunately it seems like in 2015 there's three in a row significant criminal activity related to alcohol abuse in 2015, and here we are again in 2022. We have seemingly one event after another related to alcohol abuse. Defendant is a threat to the community, and I do not feel that a monitor would protect the community because it's too easy to evade the means of that. So I do find that the state has met the burden, and I am going to grant the state's motion and we'll be taking into custody today.
Okay, you will now see her boyfriend show up in the picture. They allowed them one last hug and kiss.
I don't think you are confident in sharing the rest of the
There were a couple of other things. The state did agree to release some of the property from the car. We do not have to send you an order for that.
Do you have a stipulation?
We do not have a stipulation. We agreed to release some of the
property. Okay. I've spoken with Officer Taylor this morning. So Pacific Islanders are an insurance car with a New Jersey driver's ID and check book. Officer Taylor has said he will help facilitate that. He's not aware of the check book, but he'll certainly double check if there is one to turn it over and make it available. So we're not concerned about any evidentiary issues ultimately for trying. He's going to photograph it and return it. All right, if you want to send me a written stipulation with a proposed order, that's fine with me if it's fine with the state. All right, thank you.
I enhanced the audio as best as I could. I can enhance that audio of what she was asking her attorney, but I don't think anybody really at this point, you know. All right, here's the final part. All right. Okay, so now the question is, will her attorney try to appeal this decision? My honest opinion, I don't think so. What do I think is going to happen out of all of this? I think her lawyer has got to try to work out a deal. I'm not saying this in favor of her or in favor of Florida. I'm just telling you what my opinion. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a journalist. I'm just we're the same. I think her lawyer's got to try to work out a deal because this goes in front of a jury and you see DUI, DUI, DUI. Do you remember I talked early this week and I told you the source of the bruising that she got into a fight and she fell? You know, I don't know if it's been made public yet, but a few people had contacted me. It was in front of a bar, restaurant. I don't want to say the name of the place, but, you know, this was a year ago and there's been no, look at Jimmy Uso, look at others. You know, they have done what they can to clean up their act. Here is someone getting behind the wheel over and over and over and over again. And it's to the point now where the person has no control whatsoever. So I don't know if the state of Florida works out a deal with her. If she pleads guilty, you know, if she pleads guilty, I mean, you know, especially with all the sympathy for the family, you know, for the man that died, you know, it's a messed up situation and it's tragic. No way to put it. I will tell you one thing in closing. All right. Now, listen, I'm not saying this to defend the boyfriend in any way, shape or form. We've talked about it. The guy threatened me in more ways than you can imagine. You know, am I nervous or scared? I've been threatened many times in my life, you know, but this is a little different, you know, when somebody backs it up. But I will say this, you know, what I think Florida needs to avoid is the news media trying to sensationalize this even more. You know, and what I mean by that is, all right, look, the facts itself are enough, you know, to throw her in jail, honestly, 10, 20 years, maybe more. As I told you a week ago, Jersey does not go away. Pennsylvania does not go away. They don't turn around and say, oh, she fucked up in Florida. You know, no, she didn't kill anybody here. And we'll just close the case. She's already in jail. No. That's the part that nobody thinks about. You know, her conditions of parole in those other states is to not fuck up anywhere. Doesn't matter if it happens in Jersey. You know, it's not what happens in Florida stays in Florida. So she's got, you know, this could be a life sentence. And what I mean by that is she's 50 years old. And look, it's tragic. You know, it sucks that someone given this many chances, you know, has blown it. Seriously. But, you know, something that went down yesterday that I want you to be made aware of is, you know, when the boyfriend went outside to leave, he got ambushed by news media. And, you know, they asked him about the whole thing. And, you know, he gave his comments and he said it's tragic all around. And he expressed his, you know, thoughts and sympathy for the family, you know, who suffered their loss as a result of this. And when it aired on the local news media, they edited out like the last 30 seconds of where, you know, expressing. And look, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, if you're going to show something, you show it all. If you're going to talk about something, you talk about it all. All right. This is a situation where, look, I think everybody, including family members and friends, all say the same thing. Look, she made her bed. Now she has to sleep in it. She deserves this. And as we said for the last couple of weeks, she should never have been able to post bond. She is a danger to not only herself, but to society. So what's going to happen now is she's going to be in jail and she's going to sit in jail until the trial. If she pleads guilty, then the trial ends a lot quicker. If she pleads not guilty, this trial could go on for almost a year. And then, you know, obviously time served, no matter what. So she's in general. She may never be on free soil ever again, if you really think about it. Because whatever happens in Florida, even if that goes 10, 20 years, she's going to have to answer to the other states as well. So it's a messed up situation. It sucks that we have to talk about this. And it sucks, especially someone who, you know, I know some of us, maybe older folk out there, you know, used to appreciate Sunny in her better days. But, you know, before we knew all the behind the scenes stuff as well. So if she pleads guilty, I think she gets a minimum 10 to 15 years. You know, there's a couple of cases in Florida. If you really are interested, you know, I'll be more than happy to talk about them on next week's Q&A. But there's a couple of cases in Florida where, you know, somebody who is a teenager got 24 years. And that person showed a lot of sympathy online and was very remorseful for what that person did. Tammy, they're going to bring up her reactions on social media. They're going to bring up that she claimed that she had a seizure. They're going to say, where did you get this idea that he had a heart attack? It was unrelated. You know, there's a lot of her going back with Bill DeMont. All this will come up again. And if you don't show remorse, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but some people may even need to lie. Even if they have no remorse or they insist that they did nothing wrong, sometimes you got to show remorse because that does come into play. Florida is one of those states that families, victims do have a stronger voice than you think. You look up the cases in Florida. I remember the girl's name. She got 24 years. She was like 20 years old. She got 24 years for DUI manslaughter, and she was very remorseful afterwards. All right, so let's move on. Let's move on. Oh, by the way, this is the updated mugshot. And props to everyone out there. I did a Google image search for turkey with a human head on it. And 99.9% of the results came back with Kramer from Seinfeld. Yes, that is the scene from Seinfeld where Kramer was on the Thanksgiving turkey. That's why on Twitter I said, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. So props to everyone that saw that. They're like, ah, that's the Seinfeld episode. Yes. Unfortunately, stick a fork on her. She's done. Now, hopefully, we don't have to talk about this until, you know, the end of this case. All right. Now, yesterday on SmackDown, and I will say a couple of things about SmackDown. I will say a couple of things about Rampage. And I'll tell you this right off the bat about Rampage. You know, yesterday we did a watch party. And by the way, I got my first gift from AEW today. I don't want to give it away yet. It's not anything big. But, you know, I have requested from WWE and AEW if they could send a couple of autographed photos along so I give them away on the shows. I promised that I would not sell them on eBay. I have a 25-year track record that I don't lie. I may be an asshole at times, but I don't lie. And WWE sent me a stack like this. It's crazy, the stuff they've sent me. Vince McMahon photos alone. I mean, we haven't given them away yet, but you get a PSA rating on, you can sell them on eBay for like $300. But I got an envelope today with a couple of signed photos in it, and I'll share it with you on Tuesday because I think that'll be the giveaway for Tuesday's Rampage party. I will say this about Rampage this week. Something I noticed about Rampage, and if someone within AEW, I know there's a couple of ears, but you know, especially Tony Khan, one thing I got to give them props for this past Rampage is something that we noticed about 10 minutes before it went off the air. There was no referee bullshit. The referees came off as non-existent. They didn't go overboard with their antics and, you know, actions. And, you know, it's Aubrey Edwards, you see her sometimes. She looks like she's surfing on a surfboard. You know, somebody, you know, I mean, look. You don't notice it. You go watch WrestleMania. You go watch Cody versus Seth Rollins. You will see the referee go, you know, like you react to it. You're right in your face. You see a big, powerful move. You react. But with Aubrey Edwards, obviously, she's a little bit more animated. And then, you know, you do this and you do that. That's fine. But then when, you know, someone's winding up for an offensive move and she's like on a surfboard. They didn't do any of that on Rampage this week. And Rampage was free-flowing, nice, really, really fun hour. So I know they have bragged that other episodes have been their greatest ever. I honestly thought this past Friday might be my favorite Rampage episode other than the CM Punk debut. So we'll talk about the TNT Championship a little bit later because I do have a little bit of criticism. And now I'm starting to wonder, is Sammy Guevara going to join with Dan Lambert? Is Ty Conti going to join Dan Lambert? I'll tell you why I say that later. I don't know, but I'll tell you why I say it later. All right. SmackDown is probably the most important we got to talk about right now because yesterday on SmackDown, Riddle and Randy Orton showed up and they issued the challenge to the Usos, winner take all. And this led to Sami Zayn coming out, and Sami Zayn, who now is not only the locker room leader, but he's a spokesman for the bloodline, and I do expect Roman Reigns to ultimately beat the shit out of Sami Zayn, but I'm waiting for Sami Zayn to make a decision for Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, override them, or just offer something. Now, Adam Pearce kind of put the kibosh on that yesterday, because when he came out, and he basically said, you know, well, you can't do this, and no, but I can. So, you know, you don't even want Sami Zayn to give Adam Pearce the idea in storyline. But, you know, RK-Bro, little challenge. Sami Zayn, hey, you face Riddle. And if Riddle wins, then we get a shot, winner take all. Unify those tag titles. And Sami Zayn accepts. So the opening match is Riddle beating Sami Zayn. And obviously, Sami Zayn, to quote Ricky Ricardo, he got some splaining to do to Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. He didn't get a chance to talk to Roman Reigns, but he did talk to Paul Heyman a little bit later. So as a result, next week, and I'm pissed. I know some of you saw it. I posted a tweet during SmackDown, and I said, guys, gals, anybody remembers? I said, guys, gals, you know, what do you think? But I wouldn't mind seeing these two teams have a winner-take-all on SmackDown, even if, and I don't want to give away the result I think is going to happen. I said, what do you all think? Three people responded. So when I see nobody gives a shit, but I post pictures of me eating avocado and it gets 50 likes, I deleted it. And then sure enough, we find out that next Friday on SmackDown, winners take all, tag team championship unification match. It is happening on SmackDown next week. I don't know if people want to say May sweeps. This ain't getting 3 million viewers, everyone. WWE would have to have probably God legitimately show up from that match that with Vince was supposed to. I mean, how do you draw 3 million viewers on SmackDown these days? You'd have to do Legends. You probably would have to advertise The Rock, Steve Austin, Cena, maybe all three combined. So this is not going to really spike a crazy rating. So this is what we have coming next week. Now, I had this question come in a few moments ago, and this pertains to this match, Micah Rivelo. Who do I think is going to win the winner-take-all match next week? And I thought about this, and I don't know how you all feel about it, but let me say it like this. This match felt so important on WrestleMania Backlash. Do you remember when Roman Reigns came out? The Bloodline wants all the gold. All the gold. It was big. I mean, people were using it as the main story for their shows. Totally fine. This felt so big on WrestleMania Backlash. And then all of a sudden, forget it. It's like the scene in Goodfellas where Robert De Niro was going to whack Maury. Not tonight. You know? And why would now Roman Reigns be so receptive of the winner-take-all? Now, if you remember what we thought of the storyline, this is more about Drew McIntyre, that he didn't want to, Roman Reigns didn't want Drew to challenge Roman at WrestleMania Backlash. So putting him in a six-man tag guarantees the title's not on the line. That's more Paul Heyman's in storyline. So that's that. Okay, fine. This does not feel as big as it should, which is why my gut feeling tells me this ends in a no contest. Would Brock Lesnar show up? I don't think so, even though he is going to be coming back sooner than you think. Drew McIntyre, noticeably non-existent yesterday. Drew McIntyre obviously has to show up next week, right? Or does Nakamura show up next week? Does Sami Zayn and Nakamura and Drew show up? I think this ends in a no contest. I think it is a huge clusterfuck. The problem is they have opened Pandora's box about the unified tag titles. So you feel like there's got to be a unification now. You keep throwing it out there. Now, even if the Street Profits were to show up and put RK-Bro in the hospital, and RK-Bro's like, you know what, the hell with the unified tag titles. We got to go after the Street Profits right now and get revenge. It's not going to happen, but eventually, you know, this unification match, you feel there's got to be a decision. Now, the question is, does it happen at Hell in a Cell? Does it happen at Money in the Bank? Now, what a lot of people do not realize, few people know, but not a lot realize, you know, all this bullshit about Roman Reigns, oh, limited schedule. WWE's got a big problem. Blah, 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 blah. Stupid. Stupid. We talked about it the other day. WWE has had some heavyweight champions in the last 10 years that worked almost no house shows. So, you know, you go look at the results. Not everybody. Or you would have 2, 3, 4 month gaps. Triple H, when he was heavyweight champion, you remember he didn't do a lot of house shows. Brock Lesnar didn't do a lot of house shows. A few other, I mean, look, Brock Lesnar's reign back then was horrible. But, you know, some heavyweight champions have not done house shows. So Roman Reigns, when you look at this, last year, Money in the Bank. Okay, now this year we know that he's not in Hell in a Cell, but he'll be back for Money in the Bank. So he's not working Hell in a Cell this year. Guys, who did Roman Reigns beat at Hell in a Cell last year? First person that gets it right gets a shout out. We're cheap tonight. Who did Roman Reigns beat last year at Hell in a Cell? Muhammad says Jey Uso. Michael says Jimmy Uso. The Dream says Ray. Russ says Jay. Psycho says Jay. Muhammad says Jay. Dorian says Kevin Owens. Josh is too lazy. Thank you, Dream 101. Roman Reigns was not on Hell in a Cell last year. Roman Reigns came back for Money in the Bank. They're doing the exact same thing this year. That's 2 months worth of pay-per-view right there. Tell me what is the gigantic difference. Then you have Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. Tell me where all this crazy time off. You think about it. Now, I will tell you this. This pay-per-view poster, Allegiant Stadium is now going with this. And you know how big they're going with Money in the Bank this year. 60,000 to 70,000 fans. So Brock Lesnar on this poster, remaining on this poster, and there's a couple of variations with Cody Rhodes now in it. Yes, I have the older poster, but you look at the newer ones, Cody Rhodes has been added, and Brock Lesnar is on there as well. So Brock Lesnar will be returning soon. Now, the rumor that I was told is that Brock Lesnar will have a return match at Money in the Bank. Second thing that I heard is that WWE is considering having Roman Reigns versus Shinsuke Nakamura at Money in the Bank. They are not going to go with Drew McIntyre until that, you know, match overseas in the UK or SummerSlam. And I think it's going to happen possibly on both. So Roman Reigns is going to have an easier opponent at Money in the Bank. So those are the two rumors that I have been told so far. So we will see. Obviously, card subject to change. But, you know, remember, this is good because now Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins is the main event for Hell in a Cell. And you know that is going to be top shelf, top quality. And it allows some others to step up too. So I am totally in favor of this. Absolutely in favor of this. So just in summary, I don't think we will get a winner next Friday because the match does not feel as important, nowhere close to what it should have been at WrestleMania Backlash. Now, again, for those out there that may not tune into the other shows, and I don't expect everybody to tune into every minute every day, remember what I said about the Money in the Bank commercial that Cody Rhodes was on. You know, a lot of people are interpreting it that the winner of Money in the Bank gets the main event shot at WrestleMania. Remember, some words matter. You've heard that phrase a trillion times, words matter. You know, Cody said could main event WrestleMania. Now think about that. If you win the briefcase, how is it just could? Could be maybe. Hey, you win the briefcase? You could. What do you mean you could? You got the briefcase. You cash it in at WrestleMania. The only way you wouldn't get it is if the person you cash it in against just says, nah, I'm taking WrestleMania off. Nah. I'm going to stay home. Too tired. I got How does the person not get the WrestleMania? Think about that logic. What it is that if the person cashes in and becomes champion, and WWE will always do a storyline where somebody has to cash in before Mania. So the reason why they're teasing it the way it is because Money in the Bank has never been one of those stadium shows. It's always been outside of COVID, 15,000-seat arenas, 10,000-seat arenas, maybe a little bit more. Now you're going into a stadium, 60, 70. You think that's free? You think, who owns it? Jerry Jones? I don't, whoever owns that building, you think they said to WWE, oh, no, we'll give you 15,000-seat prices. Yeah, you know, you've done so much. No, this crazy cost a boatload of money. They want to fill that son of a bitch up to the rafters, and they will. So they got to make Money in the Bank feel more important, especially that briefcase. And you know, whoever wins that briefcase, it is going to be huge. You're not going to get, you know, a bullshit, you know, so it's going to be a big name. It has to be a big name. So we will see. We will see what happens. Now, match results from SmackDown. There was only four. Riddle over Sami Zayn. Ronda Rousey had an open challenge. She issued an open challenge. Raquel Rodriguez, the former Raquel Gonzalez, accepted a challenge, and Ronda Rousey defeated her. I don't know about you. Some people said it yesterday in the watch party. And by the way, props to everybody who showed up. We had the biggest watch party we ever had yesterday night. And you don't know what you're missing. I mean, some people were leaving saying that this is the most fun they ever had watching SmackDown. We had so much fun yesterday. But a lot of us said Ronda Rousey versus Raquel Gonzalez was better than Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. You know, Raquel Gonzalez comes this close. Now, you know, about the smiling thing, because a lot of people keep asking me about that. About the smiling thing, eventually it's going to turn into seriousness and anger. That you piss off Raquel Gonzalez, or Raquel Rodriguez, excuse me, there's a price to pay. Raquel Rodriguez in real life is a very, very positive, you know, good woman, you know, sweet woman. And, you know, this personality reflects more of her in real life. Yeah, you know, she smiles too much. She's like the Puerto Rican Apollo Crews. Remember Apollo Crews when he first came out? Remember? It's like the black Chris Van Vliet. And I love Chris. Just joking. I'm jealous of his teeth. Hey, what does I like to do this? Oh, here's your food. What do you like to do this? Do you like Cody Rhodes? I'm jealous of his teeth. Yes, Chris, I'm jealous of your teeth. And your hair. I have to wear hats because my hair, well, it's all messed up right now. But we all forget Apollo Crews when he smiled too much. There was someone else. Who else used to smile way too much and we get angry at it? So Raquel Rodriguez right now, extremely happy to be there, feels very privileged, getting an opportunity, got 7 minutes yesterday with Ronda Rousey. Think about that. She took Ronda Rousey to the limit. Ronda Rousey did great yesterday. I mean, there was a couple of little here and there, but Raquel Rodriguez showed yesterday she's going to be a major player. But when she gets pissed off, that's when it's all over. I mean, I don't want to compare it. Who used to really do that? I'm trying to remember. I mean, Rocky Johnson used to get like really pissed off sometimes. Tito Santana also, but not on that level. You didn't see their teeth. I don't remember looking at Rocky Johnson and saying like, wow, he's got nice teeth. You know, but you'd have some uber positive wrestlers and then a heel pushes them and then they get pissed off and they snap. Raquel Rodriguez one day will snap. Butch yesterday defeating Kofi. I'm telling you, if you go into the watch party and watch the arc, because you could watch the archive of the show yesterday, and you can watch SmackDown and see us chatting also. We were all rooting for Butch. Butch needed a win. And when he got that win, everybody popped for it. Finally, this motherfucker gets a really good, positive win on SmackDown. Then it was funny because he got pissed off. He ran into the rafters, and then he came back, and he's smiling, and he's happy. So it was good to see Butch get the win. Drew Gulak talking to Ricochet that he's going to get revenge on Gunther. Big mistake. Drew turns the corner, and there's Gunther and Ludwig, and Gunther rips his shirt down, gives him one of those chops that I would love to give somebody. I want to give it to myself one day, if it makes that noise. But Gunther just beat the shit out of him. Sasha and Naomi beating Natalya and Shayna Baszler to retain the titles. We knew that was going to happen. Corbin ends up attacking Madcap Moss, leaves him laying in the ring. They're doing a hospital angle. And hopefully this is the end of suspender Madcap Moss. Hopefully this is it. Sent to the hospital. While you're there, you know, get a little character transplant. I think the end of Happy Moss was yesterday on SmackDown. Fingers crossed. And we'll probably see Aaliyah versus Shotzi Blackheart next week, or we may see a three-way of Shotzi versus Aaliyah versus Ronda Rousey, because they both were going to come out and answer the open challenge. And I think it was Shotzi that said, oh, Raquel pushed me out of the way, and Aaliyah... You know, I don't know if it's the color on my TV, and I'm not saying this in any sexual way, but you got to go back and watch this segment yesterday with Aaliyah, Shotzi, and Adam Pearce in the back. This is two shows in a row that I noticed this. I don't know if you've noticed it as well. Aaliyah, her chest is so bronze that the color on my TV looks off. Have you all noticed that? I mean, I know you could get, like, tanning, you know, like the fake tans and everything. It's like she looks like one of these, like, you know, like these things that you just bronze, you dip it in bronze. Look at her chest. And I don't mean, again, I don't mean in a sexual way. Look at her chest. There's something about her chest. It is like crayon bronze. It looks like somebody took a paintbrush. Look what I'm talking. It's, I don't even think it's spray tan. It could be. But honestly, I mean, I used to go to tanning salons so bad in my 20s that I'm trying to find my old driver's license. People thought I was Dominican. I swear to God. I used to go out sometimes with my friends and I, you know, mingle a little bit. And I had more than one occasion that somebody thought, what are you, Dominican? You know, not like... good or bad way, but they thought it was, that's how dark I was. I was so dark. I got that. That's a missed opportunity from New York State. New York State should have, for vanity, well, because they have it in the database, they should have offered everyone, oh, do you want to see your driver's license when you were 16? Give us $50 and we'll send you a vanity copy. You know, I can't believe. See, I think of ways to make money and blows me away. These places don't capitalize on that. All right, you know what? Out of nowhere, just for the hell of it, I showed you earlier this TikTok video, and you know those split screens that they're really not talking to each other, but they are, you know, they try to make it look like they are. WWE posted this TikTok video earlier, and yes, I fixed the t-shirt. I'm warning you, the video is mirrored. I don't know why WWE did that, but I thought this was hilarious. So I don't know what country these guys are from, but I thought this was so cool. And honestly, it's TikTok. I don't think we'll get into any issues with it, but it's 30 seconds long. If you haven't seen this yet, check this out. Oh, yeah, okay. I'll make it bigger for everyone. I'll make it bigger for everyone. Let me just put a layer on here. I'll show everyone a layer. Let's see. All right. Let me see. I'm going to, for everyone that, you know, because I know a lot of you actually watch this through phones. So I get it. You guys don't normally... you know, it probably looks like the size of a Tic Tac or a Chiclet. Looks like a Chiclet. All right, here's a bigger version of it. Ah, I thought this was awesome. That's, I think, charcoal on the skin.
Let's go get them, man. Whoop their ass too.
That's cool, man. All right. I try to, you know, lighten up the mood a little bit. So very, very creative. Very creative. Props to them. All right. So that pretty much was SmackDown yesterday. I don't think we're leaving anything out. Now, a lot of you have been asking me about Lacey Evans. You notice no attention to her yesterday. The word is that she will debut on Raw, and she will be a heel. All right. My thoughts on this are this. You have two babyface champions right now, Ronda Rousey and Bianca Belair. And yes, everything that Lacey Evans told in those stories were true. Even if they were boring, even if they were, it played out across too many weeks, it was real. And to have someone overcome that much should be commended, respected, praised. You know, you don't want extra stuff added to it that's not true just to make it more entertaining. Real life is not always a promo. Real life is not always a skit or a segment. It may be boring at times, but it's very, very real. And there are a lot of people who deal with their own struggles or had family members with their struggles or had tragedies in their family that can absolutely relate. That's inspiring. The problem is Lacey Evans is going to be on a brand right now with two babyface champions. And the question is, who would Lacey Evans work with better at the moment? Ronda Rousey or Bianca Belair? And the overall overwhelming consensus is they want, let me put it like this. Look at Jade Cargill. Look at Jade Cargill. Look at her 30 plus wins to date. She's had a couple of big names that she has defeated. But you look at the opponents that Thunder Rosa gets, you look at the opponents that Jade Cargill gets, and you see the difference. And it should be that, because Jade Cargill still has a long ways to go. Just because Ronda Rousey was this extremely unbelievable, one of the greatest UFC MMA fighters of all time, doesn't mean that she's a spectacular professional wrestler. She has picked up on wrestling a lot quicker than a lot of other people who want to make wrestling their full-time career. So you have to treat Ronda Rousey with kid gloves. So you want the opponents for Ronda Rousey to not be so even. So that's why you're going to get your Aliyahs, your Shotzi Blackheart. Even Raquel Rodriguez, you know, and they're saying more that she's new, so she's got experience to learn. So Lacey Evans, they want to push her. They want her to be a threat. And Lacey Evans taking up against Ronda Rousey, you know, especially when you know, enough people do care about Lacey and respect Lacey Evans' background, it could end up with Lacey Evans being more of a babyface than Ronda Rousey. So they had to put her on Raw. And her catchphrase that I'm not better than any of the WWE superstars, but they're not better than me. And Bianca Belair, because they don't want her to go up against Asuka right now, because they don't want her to go up against Becky Lynch yet, even though a rematch will be coming, you know, they want Bianca Belair to issue a challenge, and Lacey Evans comes out and says, you know, I'm not better than you, but you're not better than me either. So just by that default alone, you know, WWE thinks that if Bianca's like, and Lacey Evans cheap shots her, immediate heel. So Lacey Evans might be a heel simply based on competition. She wants that title from Bianca Belair, excuse me. And yeah, that's how you can turn her heel without doing all this for nothing. She wants that championship. Bianca, ain't no way you're better than me. Look at what I went through. So yeah, that alone could get her as a heel. You want to be entertained. You don't want to see someone get pushed simply because they have a beautiful backdrop story. You know, look at Veer Mahan. He's got an awesome backdrop story, but, you know, I had the Lars vibe when Veer made his Night After WrestleMania debut and still hasn't changed all that much. Now, the other way they could go with Lacey Evans, and this is the route that I hope they don't go. I hope they don't have Lacey Evans cut a promo and say, I overcame all of this, and none of you, not one of you, supported me. None of you supported me. They could go that route. Now, a lot of people did not know the level of what had happened in her family. They knew the military background. Thank you for your service. But Jackson Ryker also has a military background. You see how that ended up. They could go the route that I overcame all of this without any of your support. She's not going to give the finger, but that's a route they could go also. It would work, but I don't know if I want to see that. I don't know if I want to see that. Which way would you want to see Lacey Evans go? Just straight up competitive, wanting Bianca Belair, and as a default, she ends up being a heel? Or do you want her to literally say, fuck you to the fans? Because those are the two ways they can go. I tell you, I'm a little torn about it. She could get nuclear heat after all of that, you know? But I think the safer way to go, because look, we're getting July 4th. Then later in the year, got tribute to the troops. Lacey Evans is going to be an important part of that. You know, WWE interacts with our military. Lacey Evans is going to be one of the spokeswomen. You know, it wasn't only a couple of weeks ago when some people were saying in the business that Lacey Evans is going to be WWE's version of Sergeant Slaughter in 2022. Well, if she turns around and turns against the fans, it's going to be a harder sell when you see her doing, you know, things related to America and the troops and everything like that. So that's why I personally think if I was WWE, you just go the competitive route wanting Bianca's belt. That's how I look at it. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. For those that are interested, Young Rock is better. Oh, no, that's not good. This is better. Young Rock has been renewed for third season. Now, this may be their last season. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, look, I think people don't read the synopsis about Young Rock, because if you look at the actual synopsis for Young Rock, it loosely talks about Dwayne Johnson's life. Loosely. That's why you see some wrestlers that, wait, I don't remember this happening here, or I don't remember this person here. It's loosely based on it. But what a lot of people need to know is that NBC, okay, they renewed Young Rock for a third season, but they dropped Keenan, which is hosted, starred by Kenan Thompson. And yeah, I know Don Johnson was his father-in-law, but they dropped that TV show. That show was doing 1.5 million viewers, And The Rock's show is doing about 2 million. Yeah, they're doing 500,000 viewers more than what Keenan was. But the thing is, that's not that far off. And as Young Rock goes, it starts to decline in viewership. So season three, if they don't really turn it up a notch, because look, now we're in the 90s. And you got to have Steve Austin. They're going to have to obviously have a stone cold, bald character. Then you quickly get into the era around John Cena time. So if that doesn't amp it up, you know, don't be too surprised if it doesn't get renewed for a fourth season. I think it will, because remember, the end season, Young Rock is only going to probably go four seasons. I don't know if they could stretch it to five, but the last season is the final part of it is Dwayne Johnson in 2032 running for president, and he actually plays himself. So, you know, they're going through the seasons now pretty quick. So I figured I'd share it for you, for anybody that wanted to know. Before we talk about something with The Undertaker that a lot of you have been asking me, and I said, okay, I'm going to definitely talk about it tonight because it's something you'd be interested in. Let's talk quickly about Rampage, very quickly. And I want to show you something about Hikaru Shida. And yes, I was confronted. I don't want to say this guy. This guy was mild. I don't want to call him a jerk, but I got confronted with that toxic atmosphere, that toxic culture, because you questioned something about AEW, and I can't wait to show you the outcome of it. You will get a kick out of it. I promise you, you'll get a kick out of it. We got screenshots. That'll be coming in about 2 minutes. Death Triangle, yesterday, Rey Fenix, Penta, and Pac, they defeated The Butcher, The Blade, and Mark Quinn. Fun match. No complaints. Shawn Spears over Bear Boulder. You're in trouble when Bear Boulder is like 400 pounds and he's doing power moves and the fans are not impressed. Shawn Spears picks him up on his shoulder and everybody's popping for Shawn Spears. I have nothing against Bear Boulder, but there's a reason why he should only be on darker elevation. Nobody gave a shit about that match yesterday. Ruby Soho over Riho to advance in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Remember, Ruby Soho is my pick to win it all. Billy Gunn did a backstage segment. This was funny, with the Gunn Club and the Acclaimed. And every bit of advice that his sons were giving Billy Gunn, he was like, we need to come up with a catchphrase. I think it was Colton Gunn is like, hey, I got an idea. You know, we can use two words. Oh, that'll never get over. And the Acclaimed are doing all their own things, and Billy Gunn loves it. Billy Gunn loves it. And then Billy Gunn reveals that he got those for a match on AEW Elevation. And they were all like shocked, almost crying, mocking. It was a funny segment. You got to go see it. Here's where we get confusion. And this was such a good night for Rampage and so unnecessary. You know, I know people want to be creative, but there is something called being overly creative. Scorpio Sky has respect from the fans. There's a natural charisma about Scorpio Sky. And Scorpio Sky, putting a little bit of respect back in the TNT title, stopping Dan Lambert from wearing the other title, you know, throwing shade to Sammy Guevara. Scorpio Sky just naturally turning babyface. Crowd loves it. So yesterday, Scorpio Sky does not want Ethan Page or Dan Lambert to come out during his match against Frankie Kazarian. Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian, the former SCU tag team, Scorpio Sky beats Frankie. But towards the end of the match, Ethan Page hits Frankie Kazarian with the title. And us in the watch party, we're saying, okay, Scorpio Sky's going to figure out that Ethan Page helped him when he didn't want it. They get into a shouting match, and then we ultimately will have Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky going at it for the TNT title. And we got that argument yesterday. Now, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti are sitting at ringside. And next thing you know, after the match is over, Scorpio Sky realizes that Ethan Page got involved. Frankie Kazarian told him he hit him with the belt. And they're teasing that they're going to feud. And then Ethan Page is yelling, yeah, I did it. What side are you on? And then Scorpio Sky destroys Frankie Kazarian. Turns heel again. Why was that needed? Why was that necessary? So forced. And talk about someone who is, you know, just naturally, organically turning babyface, and then you do that yesterday. It was just so stupid. And, oh, my God. Dan Lambert called Ty Conti yesterday, you know, Danhausen. He calls her Whorehausen. It's Whorehouse, Danhausen, Whorehausen. You got to see social media, not everybody, but enough voice. Tony, can you please stop calling women whores? Tony, please, can you stop? People are starting to realize this goody-goody, you know, higher than thou, we're better than WWE, you know, where we treat people is. You realize that with, you know, the freedom that MJF has, which they have pulled back a little bit, if you haven't figured it out, and some of the things that they do on these shows, you realize that AEW, you know, thinks that because it's between 8 and 10 or, you know, or 8 and 9, no, 8 and 10 or normally 10 and 11, depending on which day it is, that, oh, no, it's just entertainment. We truly don't believe that women are whores. We would never, no. Oh, my God. They do it worse than a lot of other places out there. That's why it would be so interesting, and I've said this before, if MJF ends up going to WWE, understand, that will be a challenge. Understand that 75% of what MJF says probably would never be allowed to be said in WWE. You ain't calling nobody crack whores. There's a lot of things. So, and let me also say this, I don't get it, guys, gals. MJF did an interview this week with a show I think called Wrestling, and he's got quoted in some other areas. And he's talking about how he's leaning towards signing with WWE in 2024 instead of AEW. And, you know, he's trashing this, and he's saying that these ex-WWE stars are getting big money and I'm not getting it. I mean, do these people realize that MJF is being MJF and trolling them? They're taking every tease that MJF has as news and gospel. In fact, you know, MJF, you know, let's compare it to baseball for a minute. You got a rookie player, and the rookie player has an incredible first 2 years, and that rookie player may still be making the minimum, but you know, after a certain period of time, that rookie will break the bank. That is the same thing with MJF. MJF is over as a heel, and he's over because of the creative freedom that he's allowed to do. The guy is spectacular. I absolutely enjoy MJF. But, you know, when you do interviews with him, you know, understand, I think people should, they know that MJF will be in character 24/7, 365. And they're taking every little tease and threat as news. This guy is playing all these people. Of course MJF wants to break the bank. Of course MJF, you know, if he could get double or triple the money in WWE, he would go. Of course he's envious of these ex-WWE stars coming in and making crazy money. But he also understands that without those ex-WWE stars, in many cases, they would not sell the amount of seats that they would get the extra attention, the household names. You know, he sees Sting making the millions that he does. And by the way, for those that are interested, Sting is coming out with his own energy drink. I think it's called The Icon. I think that's what he trademarked. I haven't seen logos. I haven't seen anything yet. But I did get an alert that he applied for a trademark. Sting is going to be selling his own energy drinks. And I tell you, he is a smart motherfucker. Look at what he does. Just imagine the commercials, if they do commercials. I'm 64 years old. And look at what I do. While other people are sitting in their rocking chairs listening to old country music, look at what, I don't know if that's what 64-year-olds do, but you know, I'll be 64 quicker than people realize. Look at what I do at 64. And they're going to show him diving off balconies and everything else. And I do it because I be an icon like me. Showtime, folks. I'll buy it. We'll do a taste test. Just keep in mind that energy drinks usually taste like shit because those ingredients are not supposed to be tasty. Hopefully there's not boatloads of sugar in it. Hopefully it does a sugar-free version. All right. So, other matches yesterday. Oh, actually, no, we got into all the matches. All right. Let's talk about Hikaru Shida for a second. Hikaru Shida. See, a lot of fans in AEW don't realize that AEW is a business. And it's not this tight-knit family where everybody has a hug emoji, you know, tattooed to their ass backstage. It's a business. And some people aren't happy with the way they're treated. I felt bad for Hikaru Shida yesterday because Hikaru Shida, I think, does not understand how storylines work sometimes in the United States. For those that don't know what happened, during Rampage yesterday, Tony Schiavone had an interview segment with Jade Cargill, Kira Hogan, and Red Velvet. Red Velvet was supposed to face Hikaru Shida in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. And Tony Schiavone announced that because of an injury, Hikaru Shida could not appear. And as a result, Chris Statlander was taking Hikaru Shida's place. So now Chris Statlander will face her friend, Kira Hogan. So, okay, fine. So Hikaru Shida, the reason why she couldn't appear, Tony Schiavone said that she was injured in a street fight match against Serena Deeb. Now, sure, people that don't like AEW jumped all over it. See, Tony, you keep doing these street fights and people are getting injured. No, it was an injury angle. Hikaru Shida is not injured. She has wrestled since that match. So what happens yesterday? And I'll be honest with you, the spoilers for Rampage came out on Wednesday. I don't understand how Hikaru Shida did not know prior to Friday about the Tony Schiavone segment because websites were reporting spoilers Wednesday night about Shida being pulled from the tournament. I would have thought somebody on Twitter or social media would have contacted her and said, you know, what do you have to say about this? But maybe she just was too busy, and I'm being sincere about that. So when they made that injury announcement on Rampage, Hikaru Shida, wait, it's better. Hikaru Shida posted this tweet. Well, that's pretty good. I already had four matches after the street fight and just finished the greatest fighting musical show. But I seem to have been injured. Japanese wrestling is nothing for them. I'm so sorry, and sorry I couldn't be in the tournament too. Think about that sentence. Japanese wrestling is nothing for them. That's pretty harsh for Hikaru Shida to be saying about AEW. So I saw that, and, you know, I don't post... I mean, I plug my stuff on Twitter and I interact with all of you, but I usually don't give my opinions on stuff on Twitter anymore because I realize if you are honest and if you're not controversial and if you don't fuck this or that, you know, nobody pays attention to it. And we had another example of it yesterday. So my reaction to it, was this. And as you could see on the screen, I said, is it just me? Or does Hikaru Shida not understand TV excuses when someone can't appear? I would not be surprised if we learn that AEW could not get Shida back in the United States in time for Wednesday's match taping. And if that's the case, I find no fault with AEW's injury announcement on Rampage. So to summarize that, you know, you do injury storylines to take someone off TV. Charlotte Flair, wedding. You know, Madcap Moss, you know, character change. You know, you do injury angles. Hikaru Shida not being aware of the injury angle and she's out of the tournament, instead of contacting AEW, she runs the social media. And I said, you know, and the reason why I said that, and this is why people should pay attention to news a little bit, is in the United States right now, a lot of airlines are understaffed. There are tons and tons of flight cancellations going down. Gas is through the roof. To fly someone in from Japan could be $4,000. Plus, Japan is not 3 hours away. You're talking 30-plus hours, especially if you have layovers. So when I saw that and Rampage being taped on Wednesday, I said, wait a minute, Shida is still in Japan. And the fact that she hasn't flown to the States yet, you know, with all the cancellations, with the amount of money, with everything else going on, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the reason. Well, God forbid you criticize a wrestler. Check out this genius out there. He writes, now look at the bottom comment first. Oh, no, look at the top comment first. This guy, who is a rabid AEW fan, he runs back to me and says, she has made the trip from Japan to the States in less time before. She absolutely, truly, absolutely could have made the trip. Also, I'm pretty sure this is a work. So relax. Relax. Close your eyes and breathe deeply. Breathe in. Breathe out. Shut the fuck up. Don't fucking come at me. So my response to him was, I'm very relaxed. And I'm also informed about the large number of flight cancellations and airlines short-staffed in the United States. Japan has some of the most stringent travel restrictions in the world. It is not as easy to get back here right now as you think, not to mention the $3,000 plus airfare. Now, instead of this guy saying, all right, well, you know what, let's see what happens. This guy writes back, and we're not talking about a 16-year-old AEW rabid wrestling fan who just absolutely loves Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara. This is like a 45-year-old, you know, deep, hardcore AEW fan. His response to me is, I'm really happy you know it all, but I'm saying relax on saying, as a professional, don't relax that saying that a professional doesn't understand her job. Based on the promo where they revealed she was out, it seems Sterling, Mark Sterling, is the reason her spot was taken and it backfired. This is all her work, including her tweets. God bless that misguided soul. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to respond to this guy. I'm not going to even respond. But this is what I talk about on social media. You express an opinion and people immediately got to throw shade at you. You know, you can't just say, look, I disagree. I think it's a storyline. This and that. No, relax. Well, guess what? I fucking relaxed. I had the COVID shot. I slept for 20 hours since yesterday. And what happens? Hikaru Shida posted another tweet. After my Philadelphia street fight and a doctor check from AEW was required to participate in the Owen Hart Cup, I could not re-enter the country in time. I'm sorry to disappoint everyone. These difficulties happen sometimes with international talents. Always bet on Don Tony. Hashtag, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. These motherfuckers don't have a clue. You just look at it. 30 plus hours to get to Japan. You're going to fly her for a day and a half for a match and then fly her all the way back and then run the risk with all the cancellations and the short staffs and the restrictions. These people don't even understand the restrictions coming out of Japan. We're already, yesterday was Friday. Even if the Concorde doesn't exist anymore. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. So even though I said I was not going to respond to that nitwit, I did. I showed him that tweet. Guess what? He didn't fucking respond. Bafangul. Bafangul. And I say that with love. But I don't mind a friendly confrontation. You know, I don't mind being confronted with people like that because I usually prepare myself with facts before I make a comment. But again, what I said was boring and unsexy. But I watched people that took Hikaru Shida's tweet, the original one, about her not being happy with it. All they wrote was, yikes. I saw people just write the word, yikes, 5,000 likes. Yikes. Instead, that's the mentality that you have to deal with right now. Unbelievable. All right. A lot of you have been asking me, Don Tony, Undertaker is doing autograph signings, and how come he refuses and goes out of his way to tell everyone that he refuses to autograph rookie cards? And I'll tell you the reason why. There's two reasons, actually. And some of it is obvious. Number one, there are very, very, very few Undertaker rookie cards that are autographed out there. Undertaker was never really experienced in the eBay market when it comes to autographs. Now, yes, we went to the big event a couple of years ago and the Undertaker was there, and I think the Undertaker charged like $150 or $200 for an autograph photo. Now, it's pretty cool. I just got more Undertaker photos. Oh my God, I can't wait to show you these. So you go to an Undertaker autograph signing and you get a signed photo, you pay $100, $150 for it, you go and you throw it on eBay. Chances are, because the market is starting to get flooded, you ain't making your money back. Some people, believe me, you know, unfortunately, when Daphne passed last year, you looked at eBay right after and suddenly there was 1,000 autographs up for sale. People thinking that, you know, they're going to break the bank because she passed. And the more that flood the market, the lower the price is. So anyway, so the Undertaker, early on doing autograph signings, he had a few requests sign rookie cards. So when Undertaker first started doing the autograph circuit again, he's, you know, look, somebody's paying $150. Yeah, I'll sign the card. He's paying $150. Problem is, some of these cards, the rookie cards from 1991, you get them PSA graded. You get a 9 or a 10. There are some cards not signed that will sell for $200. So what happened was, early on, when Undertaker, as long as you paid the money, he signed it. These eBay auctions for these signed rookie cards, $700, $550. Someone is asking for like $1,100 because it's rated PSA 10, the card. And some of these cards have sold for $500, $600. Now, because a lot of people are not spending that kind of money right now, you see the prices going down a little bit. But now the Undertaker realized, wait a minute. If I sign a rookie card, the rookie card, if it's graded, itself could be sold for $200, $100, $150. Now I autograph it, and now that shit could be sold for $500 plus. So the Undertaker said, okay, I'll sign cards, but I'm not signing my rookie cards, 1991. Because he knows that somebody will pay $200 knowing they got a really good centered card, Undertaker signs it, and they immediately grade it and put it on eBay and try to get $500, $600 for it. That is the reason why the Undertaker, he's not embarrassed of his rookie career. And he's not against signing things. You know, signing a championship title, of course that's expensive item, but the title itself is very expensive. So the title, you might have spent $400 or $500 for the title. He signs the title and you may be able to get $800-900 for it. And sure, you might met, but someone has to spend a lot more money because they're spending $500 for the title. They're spending $200 plus for the autograph. They already got $700 in the game. So even if they do put it up, and here's another thing people need to realize. 1991 WWF cards, you could still buy them online. They're not extremely expensive. And yes, people still sell them sealed in packs. And me, if I were to buy vintage packs of cards, I'm not putting them in a plastic case and leaving them sealed and look at a sealed pack. You think I would go for years, even if it's beautiful and on display, and I look at the pack and I say to myself, my God, I could only imagine what cards are inside. I'm undressing that quicker than a prostitute. I'm undressing that shit. I'm opening that shit up. So you could still, you know, pull some Undertaker cards that are very centered. And you could get them graded and you might be able to sell them, you know, but as the market gets more flooded, the prices go down. That is why The Undertaker does not sign 1991 cards. So for everyone, and the reason why a lot of people have been asking me about this lately is because of the fact that Undertaker is doing some autograph signings in the very near future. And they specifically said Undertaker will not sign rookie cards. That is the reason why. Okay. Couple of quick shout-outs, and then I'll spend a few minutes in the chat room. Don't forget tomorrow. Tomorrow, where is it? I don't have my logo, my own logo? Tomorrow, the sit-down. With yours truly, 8.05 p.m., the phone lines will be open for the entire show. We will be taking calls. Last time we did it 2 weeks ago, beautiful. The calls were spectacular. A lot of new, you know, first-time long-timers, what that means, you know, first-time calling, long-time tuning in. So keep it up. I want to give a shout-out to David Peralta. I was supposed to call David today. I promised him a phone call, and I was passed out, literally passed out. So, David, I promise you I will DM you tomorrow. If you're around Sunday, I'll call you. If not, we'll talk this week. So if he happens to see this, and if any of you out there talk to David, let him know. Because I was thinking about it earlier, and I was like, I knew I was supposed to do something. And I was like, fuck, I was supposed to call David. So, all right. A couple of super chats, if you don't mind. Shout out again to Mikey Ravello. As I said earlier, I think the winner take all will end in a no contest. Thank you, James, again, for the alert that we now have. Super thanks. Super thanks. Very, very cool. Very cool. And I hope you all enjoy the show. And if you're enjoying tonight's show, hit that like button. You know, that does help with this algorithm stuff that I'm sure you are sick of hearing everybody do. Be happy that I don't do sponsors here, because I have been offered sponsorships from cereal to grooming stuff to books. I don't want to open up a show. This show is, I love how Jim Cornette does it, because he segues his conversations into the sponsorships, you know. But I tried not to do sponsorships here only because I don't want to, oh, let's give a word to us. You're spending precious time here. We don't need to do sponsors right now. Rojo Bear, thank you again, my friend. I hope everything is well with you. Much appreciated. Casey is raw. He wants Sonny out of the WWE Hall of Fame. He feels WWE should kick one person out if they don't deserve it, like celebrity wing people and et cetera. I'll say this. I'll say it bluntly. I think WWE should take her out of the Hall of Fame after she is officially found guilty. Officially found guilty. That's my opinion. I don't think she should be a Hall of Famer, especially after everything that has gone down. Addiction is tough, man. It's an illness. And that's not an excuse to kill anybody. She has been given numerous opportunities. And I'll tell you this much. I'm not trying to show any sympathy or anything like that. I kind of feel bad for the boyfriend, because you feel like the boyfriend got sucked into some of this too. And look, he's no winner, and I'm not sticking up for him, you know. But the more you learn from the situation, you know, I mean, they do care about each other. You know, and that's fine. You know, I'm not interested in someone like that. But, you know, you just feel like, you know, man, You know, when someone goes down, you know, you don't want to bring the whole fleet down with you. But I think not only should she be out of the Hall of Fame once found guilty, I wonder if the court could freeze her assets. Oh, shit. I brought this up in the synopsis, and this will only take me 30 seconds to answer. A lot of you asked me about this. I completely forgot early. What happens to the $28,000 that Tammy Sitch paid to get herself out of jail? Excellent question. A lot of people want to know. First of all, there's some misinformation out there. No sugar daddy out there bailed Tammy Sitch out of jail. Tammy Sitch put up collateral. That collateral has not been made public by the court, so I'm not going to say what that collateral is. My guess, she's got, another vehicle. I think, not sure, but she's got collateral. She's got valuables. She paid the $28,000. Now, if you remember, because I do sell bonds as part of my business, the bonds itself, she probably paid $1,000. She might have paid $1,000. I sold someone a $100,000 surety bond last year, and the fee was about $140. So, again, it's not that much money to buy bonds. You have to have collateral and good credit to back it up. You can't just, because I have a credit score of 800 and get a bond. You have to have collateral, because if she skips town and she's got $275,000 in bonds, the court will seize that amount of assets. What happens to the bonds? Very simple. The only amount of money that she is on the hook for was the cost to buy the bonds. The court no longer has collateral interest in her possessions. The only amount of money she loses is the cost to purchase the bonds. So she's not out $28,000. But I also wonder if the court tries to freeze assets, and I don't know if you can until somebody is found guilty, but you know some people, if they know that they're in some serious legal troubles, especially that there's a civil suit, you know, you don't want her signing all her stuff over to, you know, a friend or to, you know, someone else, put it in a corporation, something, so they can't take it. If I don't own anything, you can't take anything from me. So that I'm a little curious to see in the civil side, if there's any way that they could put a freeze on some of her assets, you know, I don't know. But yeah, so I wanted to answer that too. So again, I think take her out of Hall of Fame once she's officially found guilty. Dream 101, Roman Reigns has been champion long enough. He's done great work as champion, but WWE should freshen it up. If Drew wins, he doesn't know who he faces as champion. Well, let's hit that bridge for Drew when it comes, and I'll tell you why. The draft will happen around the same time Drew McIntyre becomes WWE champion. Won't be Universal Champion. It'll be WWE Champion. So you may have some wrestlers on Raw, and I can almost guarantee you'll have some wrestlers who are on Raw that will now be on SmackDown. So there are a boatload of people that he could face. Bobby Lashley, I could see going to SmackDown. And we may see Bobby Lashley and Drew again. I know some of you don't want to see that. There's a few people that could go to SmackDown. So don't worry about Drew's opponents yet. Roman Reigns, I think, you know, you got to realize if it's not broke, don't fix it. And WWE realizes that. I do agree with you that now it's starting to feel like, okay, now, but you see the storyline now is starting to lead to that. And WWE is not going to speed it up simply because we want a different, you know, someone to win those titles sooner than later. They will take their time and they will not rush it unless there's an injury or a suspension or something else. So Roman will lose those titles sometime this year. All those people that are saying, you know, he's going to keep it to WrestleMania next year, I think that's wrong. Say it respectfully. And by the way, I want to punch myself in the nuts now every time I see this. What the fuck is the obsession now for two phrases on Twitter? Everywhere I look, I see either pitchers that go hard, The only pitcher that gets me hard right now is probably somebody in a different room naked. Pitchers that go hard. And it could be just fucking Steve Austin from 20 years ago, just standing. Pitchers that go hard. Everywhere I fucking look, pitchers that go hard. Pitchers that go hard. Pitchers that go hard. And the second one, people can't just express an opinion anymore. Now what they do is they write three annoying words. Yeah, that was three words too. Yeah, you know what those three annoying words are? Hear me out. Every time I see that, I want to punch myself in the face. I want to literally just give myself black eyes. Every single person, they'll show Tony Khan versus CM Punk, hear me out. They'll show Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre, hear me out. Everything, hear me out. Oh my God. Go look around. Pitchers that go hard. I haven't seen any freaks yet go, hear me out. Pitchers that go hard. Oh God, this obsession with it. I have a headache watching that. I want my head to explode like scanners. Casey is raw. Do I think her boyfriend is going to be charged too? No. He was brought in a civil lawsuit. And after looking at everything and getting some information, I already corrected last week that he did not own the car. He did not purchase the car, I should say, and he did not own the car. I understand why he was put in the lawsuit. I think they don't have proof that she used the car on a regular basis. I know what happened, what he was doing at the time of the accident. And if it is true, I don't know if it could be proven, but if it is true, they can't link him to her. But you know how the legal system is. Lawyers will sue everybody. And I'm not throwing shade on lawyers. I'm just saying, no, I don't think he will be charged with anything. If they had something, they would have done it already. And if you notice, you know, look, a good example is Bill DeMont. Bill DeMont has been very, very, very passionate about this against Tammy. And a lot of people still don't understand why. Bill DeMont's daughter was killed by a drunk driver only a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. A lot of people don't know that. So when Bill DeMont and Tammy had that exchange last week, understand in the back of your mind when Bill DeMont is going at her and she's going back and bringing up that he's not in the Hall of Fame and everything like that, you know, I don't even think she realized that his daughter was killed by a drunk driver. His daughter was in her early 20s, I believe. So, you know, you don't even see him going after the boyfriend and others. You know, this is on her. This is on her. Rojo Bear, the booking of the TNT Championship has been a mess so far this year. Yes, it has. And I don't understand the reasoning for having Scorpio Sky to do what he did. Again, I know I'm repeating myself. That organic push is a babyface. Crowd was into it. Crowd was into Sammy versus Scorpio as a feud. Scorpio versus Ethan Page was a good feud. The only thing I could think of out of all of this crazy shit is that Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti may ultimately join up with America's Top Team. I know that sounds nuts, but remember, and this is not a bragging thing, it was yours truly 7-8 weeks ago that told you, oh my God, they're going to turn Sammy and Ty Conti heel. And that was the time, if you remember, where she took her social media page down. She went offline on Twitter, and that was when they first revealed the relationship. And then when she came back, everything was be mad, be mad, be mad, be mad. And she's posting pictures on the beach with Sammy over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, look, we all like to post when we're having a good time on vacation and stuff. But you could see she was rubbing it in people's face. You don't like it? Be mad. And I saw that 8 weeks ago. And you remember the show? You remember the chat room that night? DT, what are you, nuts? They're not turning on him. Where do you even see that? Are you crazy? Remember who told you that Hook and Tony Nese were going to be having a feud? About 6 weeks ago, I told you that. So I think this could end up because Paige VanZant, nothing against her, she ain't ready for primetime one-on-one matches. You put Paige VanZant and Ty Conti together, oh, the toxicity. That's toxic. That's nuclear for some people. I think it can happen. That's the only logical conclusion I could come up with of having Scorpio still remain a heel. Cappy Caveman, why isn't Kamala in the WWE Hall of Fame? Wait a minute. Guys, was Kamala put in a celebrity wing at Hall of Fame? I mean, look, I'll say this. I think he was because I haven't heard anybody mentioning Kamala's name for a few years now. So if he was put in, there's your answer. But I'll say this. If he's not in the Hall of Fame, it's because Kamala was accusing WWE of a lot of racism and a lot of mistreatment. I mean, Kamala really went hard against WWE. I think he was put in the legacy wing. I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, if you think of the WWE Hall of Fame, nobody has been mentioning Kamala for years now. So if someone could check and let me know, I think he was put in. I'm pretty sure he was put in. Maybe it's just, you know, Phantom what I'm thinking of, but I could swear that he's in the Hall of Fame. So I'm sure we'll have an answer by the end of the show. And Official Thump, do I think the Bullet Club reunion and merchandise in WWE? No, we won't see a Bullet Club. You know, they're not going to have that kind of merchandise. I still think that Finn Balor is going to turn on AJ Styles. I think that could still happen. I mean, look, if you kept them as a tag team for a few months, sure, you could sell merchandise. But I just don't feel that. I still think Finn Balor, especially when Damian Priest, Edge, and Rhea, when they came out the other day and Edge said that they're not done yet, they're looking for more, I think Finn ultimately turns. No one is confirmed. Okay, Josh says he's not in the Hall of Fame. Well, again, it was those accusations. I mean, it was pretty bitter at the time. And unfortunately, when he passed, the urgency to put him in, you know, just was not there anymore. I will say this. Kamala will be in the WWE Hall of Fame within the next 2 to 3 years. I have a feeling it could be in the celebrity, not celebrity, the legacy side. But if you ask me, honestly, regardless of what went on years past, Kamala deserves more than the Legacy Hall of Fame. Kamala deserves to be on that front and center Hall of Fame ceremony. I also think, you know, it may have to come down to if, you know, a family member is willing, if they've made peace with WWE. I mean, you know, that does come into play a little bit. If there's a lot of friction and animosity still, you know, that they could just throw him in the legacy wing and be done with it. But I think Kamala deserves a lot more than that. And I believe that he will go in the regular Hall of Fame. So I think the Tammy trial could go 6 to 9 months. There's not a crazy amount of evidence. I mean, they're obviously gathering all the court documents and they're showing the history. You know, understand something. You know, there's more that's out there that hasn't been made public yet. You know, they found an open container in the car, you know, which I really don't want to get into because, you know, it's not my place to do it. The incident where I told you the fight that she fell and got the bruises on her face, that was only about a week or two before her arrest. So, you know, she's still, you know, drinking. So if she pleads guilty, if they work out a deal, she'll plead guilty and it'll end a lot quicker. But if she pleads not guilty, I don't know what the defense could possibly be. But if she pleads not guilty, I think I could see it going 6 to 9 months. And she'll, like I said, she'll remain in jail until a decision. And if she's found guilty and she gets 10, 15 years, you know, working out a deal, and then you figure you got Jersey and Pennsylvania to deal with afterwards, she could still do 20 years. So, yeah, Benjamin, you're right. You could say, I don't want to say it. I don't want to get myself in trouble. You know, it's bad enough. I didn't even tell you all this. It's bad enough that I had a few people related to the case that want to see some of the documentation that I have. On the other side, and news people confront me. You know, would you be willing to share your information and we'll give you credit for it? And I said, no. I do it for the show. I do it for my audience. You want to tune in and you want to hear this stuff, that's fine. That's why, if you notice, nobody's reporting about the car itself or anything like that, because they don't have the information. They won't give me credit for it. You know, either I have to give it to them or I get no credit for it. And that's fine. That's fine. Casey is Raw is asking, do I think Miss Elizabeth not in the Hall of Fame because of the way she died? Up until this point, yeah, it's tragic. But, you know, none of us are perfect. And some of us have demons. And her demons took her way too young. But Miss Elizabeth, looking back, is so beloved. She will be in the Hall of Fame. She will absolutely be in the Hall of Fame very, very soon. In fact, I'll make a guarantee. I mean, this is just a guess, an educated guess. Within 2 to 3 years, both Kamala and Miss Elizabeth will be in the Hall of Fame. Miss Elizabeth should have been in there already. No question. She will be put in. They will look back and, she will be put in. I don't think they dare put in Lex Luger and Miss Elizabeth in the same Hall of Fame. Remember, as much as we hated Lex Luger at that time, it's still crushing for him because he was in a relationship with her. So, you know, Lex has got to go in too. I think Lex has got to go in too. Oh, Gruss just asked that question. Will Luger and Miss Elizabeth go in at the same time? No, I don't see that. So I see we went 12 minutes over. So I will stick around for a few more minutes and I will spend some time in the chat with all of you. All I ask is you put in capital letters question before your question so it stands out a little bit more. And don't forget again, tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. to sit down. So we will get into that as well. Oh, Mike D, absolutely. Absolutely. He's Bam Bam Bigelow, Demolition, Nasty Boys. Bam Bam has got to go in. Bam Bam within 2 or 3 years also. Now, remember, you know, we're talking about three people who are deceased. And, you know, they don't normally like to put in more than one deceased wrestler, you know, on the main stage. So, you know, maybe within 5 years, but Bam Bam will be in. Bam Bam is got to go. In fact, if you said to me, Bam Bam or Miss Elizabeth or Kamala first, I probably would go Miss Elizabeth first, Bam Bam second, Kamala third. Bam Bam will put Demolition, you know, they tried to sue. There were that class action suit for the concussions. You know, at the end of the day, I think they will, if not, if they haven't already, they will make amends with WWE. They got to go in the Hall of Fame. The Nasty Boys, I say yes, but I say within the next 10 years. I don't see any urgency for the Nasty Boys. Although, you know, look, a fun part of my childhood, the Nasty Boys. Benjamin, I heard literally about a half hour, because I've been sleeping most since yesterday afternoon. I literally got up, ate, took a shit. Sorry, everyone, for saying that. But I literally ate, took a shit, fell back asleep. Woke up again, you know, took my daily meds, made a couple of phone calls, put up the thumbnail, you know, plugged it a little bit, fell back asleep. I did find out Virgil revealed that he has stage 2 colon cancer. Yeah, it hits home. It hits home because of, you know, some of the things that I'm dealing with right now. I heard that he's got a GoFundMe set up. I'm going to go check it out, see what exactly, you know, is going on. I don't know if he had medical insurance. I would think with Obamacare, you know, with previous conditions, I can't see why they wouldn't cover it. You know, that's the thing. I'm in the insurance field, everybody. I've been an insurance broker since 1998. And I can tell you, you know, I know people that have purchased, you know, Obamacare with previous conditions and get treated for it. I mean, it would be a major news story if people had some serious illnesses and couldn't go out there and still purchase some type of insurance. So, you know, if he claims he doesn't have insurance, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but you know what I say? Let's put the money together and buy him health insurance. Let's buy him Obamacare. And, you know, maybe you covered a deductible, because obviously the deductibles are crazy. $10,000 deductibles is no joke. So it's almost like you don't have health insurance. You know, you pay, imagine this, you pay $500 a month for health insurance and you got a $10,000 deductible. That means you got to spend $15,000 on health insurance before they pay out. So believe me, once even if Virgil does have health insurance, he may not when you realize that he's on the hook for the first 10, 15 grand. Health insurance sucks right now. All right. Michael Gonzalez, WWE is going to start doing these rolling Hall of Fames. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of these. I've never seen one, but I have seen where there's been like portable, like mobile Hall of Fames, or I shouldn't say mobile, but you would have a big event and what they would do is they would actually bring like a small Hall of Fame to the particular event and then they showcase it that way. I don't know if WWE would ever have a physical location unless it's Florida. Unless it's Florida. And even that, you know, I think they would want to own the building. I think the WWE would rather bring the Hall of Fame to us. All right, WrestleMania is coming to Jersey. We bring the Hall of Fame to Jersey. Obviously, it would not be this gigantic warehouse setup, but I see WWE having more of a mobile Hall of Fame. All right. The worst pro wrestler of all time, Kevon Lewis. All right, I'm going to answer it like this. I'm not going to choose celebrities. I'm not going to choose someone who may have only had a couple of matches. I'm not going to choose Jenna Maraska. I'm not going to choose, I can't remember her name right now. Jackie Gaeta. No. For me, as a wrestling fan, someone who got pushed, and I saw the guy, and I was like, why is this person in the position that they're in? Angelo Mosca Jr. The son of Angelo Mosca. Is it? It's Angelo Mosca Jr., right? That's the son of Angelo Mosca? I'm telling you, you got to go out of your way. You can't just watch one match. Because, hell, I even had three matches, and one of them, you know, the hardcore one, some people are like, hey, that was a pretty good match. I'm just pissed about the camera work with the bubble wrap spot. To me, that is my favorite wrestling moment of all time, actually being physical. You know, for those that don't know, I was involved in a six-man hardcore match. And I'm not a wrestler. I mean, I trained a little bit, but I was not. But I wanted to do a spot, and they did it. And what they did was, to write me off of the match early, I don't remember if it was Tony Lowe or Joe So Delicious, but I bought this gigantic thing of bubble wrap from Staples. And what I did was I opened up the bubble wrap and I popped a whole bunch of holes in the first like 6 feet, 10 feet of it. And then I re-rolled it up. And then what they did during the match was they grabbed this giant thing of bubble wrap and they started wrapping the bubble wrap around my head and my body. And then I acted like I couldn't breathe and I passed out on the floor. Problem is, the promoter got pissed off because there was a couple of kids crying at first row thinking that I really suffocated and passed out because I kept yelling, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. They wrapped the bubble wrap around my body. And the visual was beautiful, but the camera work was kind of shitty. And, you know, Louie putting me through the table with the thumbtacks and the bottle and all that stuff. But that was fun. That was fun. But Angelo Mosca Jr., worse than Eric Watts. Absolutely worse than Eric Watts. You got to watch a couple of his matches, and then you'll say to me, DT, you know, I don't understand how that guy got as far as he did. Nothing personal against the guy. Nothing personal. WWE Museum, I like that, CJ Rocks. Museum instead of a Hall of Fame. You can have, you know, like you see Yankee Stadium, they have the plaques, you know, behind center field. Do that with the WWE. Have Hall of Fame plaques. Now, obviously, WWE Hall of Fame is much bigger when you had the legacy wing and everything like that, but you can have a display and have plaques of, you know, all the inductees, have it on a wall. You could do that. Oh, yeah, Angelo Mosca Jr., worse than Dana Brooke. Yeah, worse than Dana Brooke. You know why I say that? Look at the matches. I mean, give credit to the people he was facing because they were trying to make him look like $1 million. But, man, it was brutal. QT Marshall's a good wrestler. He just is not as big of a player as he thinks he is. Behind the scenes, he is very important to AEW. But, you know, the, you know, what he does on TV, it's like, you know, he's everybody changes the channel. I respect what he does. I really do. But if I owned a promotion, I wouldn't put him on main TV. Unless he was like a security guard breaking up a fight or something. All right. We're going to start wrapping this up. About 7 minutes from now. Kevin is asking, how long do I think it'll take for a wrestler to unveil a brand new finishing move that no one has ever seen before? I tell you, Grayson Waller, if you saw recently his match, his last match, not the mixed tag, the one before it, you see that move that was like a reverse bulldog where he leaped over the guy back to back. I don't remember who he was facing, but that looked great. I personally don't think we need, you know, to have these innovative new finishers because then you just try to, you know, top or you modify something that's already popular. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. You don't need to have new finishers. Just because somebody, I mean, everybody wants to create their own so they can put their name on it. You know, a Canadian Destroyer is probably the one that I think we're all sick and tired of, you know, like hearing like, oh, I invented the Canadian Destroyer. Oh, I don't get credit for this or that. Man, you need that much credit. And if I was people, I wouldn't do the Canadian Destroyer. All right. I'm looking at questions. I think everybody's going to save it for tomorrow. Tom McGee. I think that's who you're talking about, Gruss, not Tom Maggie. Tom McGee, I think you're talking about. You know, they celebrated, you know, they found that lost footage of him and Bret Hart and the Holy Grail. And I think it was Mary Kay that had that footage. Mary Kay's a sweetheart. If any of you know Mary Kay, the photographer, I met her towards the end of ECW, and she did some photography work for XPW. What a wonderful woman. I think she's the one that had the original. I could be wrong, but you know, it was the holy grail of footage that everybody always wanted to see, Bret Hart versus Tom McGee. It came out. They had the convention. And speaking of conventions, Conrad is bringing back StarCast. StarCast 5 will be taking place SummerSlam weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. And when I get more details, I will let you know. I think tickets are going on sale next week. Now, remember, Conrad invited me to the first ever StarCast. He invited me to be on Podcasters Row, and unlike all the other podcasts, or most of the other podcasters out there, I didn't have to pay to go. He said to me, he goes, look, get yourself here. I'll take care of everything else. I was very generous of Conrad. I couldn't go because work, my office got in the way. Also, at the time, I was still doing the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. And, you know, I felt like if I'm going to go, it should be the whole show or nothing. I mean, I wasn't doing really my own style. I mean, I was doing Breakfast with Blasi and everything, but, everybody knew me for, you know, that show. So I turned it down. I kind of regret it. So I honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not, look, I'm not one of those that's going to tease. I'm going to do something, not do it. The only reason why I don't think I would be able to go to StarCast this year is because I'm getting married in September. It's stupid for me to waste that amount of coin when I got a wedding that I'm still trying to pay off. So next year, StarCast 6, you can almost guarantee. Conrad, if you're seeing this, StarCast 6, keep a seat warm for me. That guy gets a lot of heat from a lot of people because he's a hustler. But, you know, not for me, no. Not for me. Yeah, for various reasons. So, all right. We got about 3 minutes left. So let's take like one more question or two. So what do you got for me to close it out? Make it a good one. Make it a good one. And join me tomorrow night, 8:05. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. We're actually going to be ordering our invites or wedding invitations. So you know what's fucked up? I'll show it to you. Maybe I shouldn't. My fiance got an example of the wedding invitation that we're going to send out. And when she texted the picture of it to me, the name on the wedding example was Tammy and Chris. I kid you not. In fact, tomorrow, I'll grab my cell phone and I will put it up on the screen so you could see. And you'll see the date of the text. There's no way for me to backdate text messages from 3-4 days ago. You'll see it. It was creepy. Creepy. All right. I think that's it. I think we are good. All right, so I'm going to jet out of here. All right, one more. Does Vince Russo deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, I do believe so. I do. He is a scapegoat for a lot of the crap. But if you pay close attention, there are a lot of people within wrestling that actually do appreciate what Vince Russo has done for them. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Just not controversial. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. What do I think about Nature Boy returning to the ring? Rockstar, I'll be straight up with you. I'm always straight up, but we showed the footage of Ric Flair and Jay Lethal training 2 weeks ago. We had that long conversation about this already. Why is it suddenly big news? Because all the websites decided now we got to report it because everybody's talking about it. And when you cover stuff, you cover it even when it's not a popular story. So we've talked about it already. I've said it, you know, already. If you watch the work he did with Jay Lethal, which we played a couple of weeks ago, he looks acceptable. If he gets involved in a match, I don't have a problem with it. You know, if he takes a bump, I'd rather see him in the corner of a team. I heard the teaser, FTR and Ric Flair versus the Rock and Roll Express and somebody else, you know, maybe Tully. That's what they should do. I just figured it out. FTR fired Tully on AEW TV. The Rock and Roll Express should have Tully. Easy. Easy peasy. Yeah, I'll get heat for that. Easy peasy. But yeah, that's what I would do. But you know what? I'd rather have Tully in the corner of the Rock and Roll Express and Ric Flair in the corner of FTR, and then they could get a little animated for a moment or two. But that's all it's going to be. It's not going to be, him going to be in a ring for an extended period of time. So, no, I mean, honestly, you know, look, he's 73. He doesn't have much time yet. I don't think it'll overexpose. I think it'll just be 30 seconds and out, and I'm fine with it. All right, I'm going to jet out of here. It's been real. I thank you very much for joining me tonight. Once again, if you enjoyed the show, hit the like button on the way out. And don't forget tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m., we'll be right here. We'll be doing Q&A, chat, live calls throughout the whole show. And then Monday after Raw, you know, we will cover Raw and get into some additional news. And we will have a lot of fun. And props to everyone out there. I thank you, as always, for your support. Very much appreciated. Never taken for granted. Remember that. And that's pretty much it. So be well, everyone. Stay safe. And, oh, somebody would have run in right at the very end. I'll answer it. Mike D. Should Crush go in with demolition. Oh, no. Oh, no. We have to finish on that? No. I hated Crush in Demolition. Axe, Smash, Crush. I would put him in as Kona Crush or Bryan Adams. I honestly think Bryan Adams deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame. I think Brian Clark deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't put him in as Chronic, though. But Adam Bomb and Bryan Adams, they had great singles careers. I would put in Bryan Adams as Kona Crush or Bryan Adams, and I would put Brian Clark in as Adam Bomb. So, yeah, I would put Bryan Adams in, but not as part of Demolition. It at the time, believe me, because I was a fan at that time, he just felt like a fill-in for Demolition, and it never kicked off. People got pissed off. Look, if you've never, I'll leave you with this. If you've never seen Sifi Afi make, I think, his Madison Square Garden debut, it is one of the, I've said this on my history show, I said this. In my opinion, Sifi Afi was the first troll job that I honestly thought WWF did with fans. And I'll tell you the story. It's on YouTube. But in fact, you know what? When I go like this on the replay, I'm going to have the video up there so you can watch it. It's worth a watch. Even if you all hated Snuka or you don't even like old school, this is worth a watch. Let me tell you the story behind it. Jimmy Snuka, unfortunately, left WWF in the late 80s, obviously because of, you know, various reasons. And Jimmy Snuka was my favorite wrestler, you know, in the very early stages, and then it was Terry Funk and it never changed. But Jimmy Snuka was one of the most beloved fan favorites ever in the history of WWF. And he had the Morocco feud, Piper, Backlund, others, Albano, Stevens, whatever. He still would get monster pops from the fans. So he left. And this was, I don't know what year it was. It might have been 89. It might have been 89. Maybe somebody wants to check quick, but I'm not sure. But it's right around that time. And I don't remember who he was facing. But you had Howard Finkel on the microphone, and he said, and his opponent from the Fiji Islands. And there was this pause. And everybody was like, no fucking way. They erupted. They thought Jimmy Snuka was back. And Howard Finkel said, from the Fiji Islands. And then the music plays. And everybody thinks that Snuka's coming out. And you hear Howard Finkel say, Superfly, Sifi, Afi. And you could literally hear the crowd turned from cheers to boos. And if you look at ringside, you have fans, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, we want Snuka. And obviously you got to, we want Snuka. We want, look, this is bringing back memories. Didn't even expect to bring this up. We want Snuka. Worse than the fake Diesel and the fake Razor Ramon. I'm telling you. Go watch it if you've never seen it. If you're watching this on the replay, I already post, you know, with my fingers, showed you the link. If everyone else, just do a YouTube search. Just put Superfly Sifi Afi and you watch it. To me, it was the original troll job by WWF at the time. Oh, my God. You got to see how this crowd, and it felt bad for him. And they quickly tried to change it appearances after, but I don't think he ever recovered. Superfly Sifi Afi. I wonder if Jim Cornette's ever talked about that. That would be a fun story for him and Brian Last to talk about. Superfly Sifi Afi. I'm glad we finished with that. Definitely worth a look, everybody. Now, I could officially say, Buenos noches, mi amigos. You're not working. They don't want me to leave. They don't want me to leave. Where's my outro? Oh, here's my outro. Bye, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.